Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for the program. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. And once again, our main thrust will be on the recent events in the Hayley Cummings and Kaylee Anthony cases, both of which seem to be lumbering towards some kind of conclusion at a glacial pace. Joining me here in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
I am still waiting for TJ to get on the line. I did talk to him earlier today, so he is expected to be here. Also joining us is Peter Hyatt from the lobster capital of the world, Maine. Peter, it's always good to talk to you.
Oh, thanks for having me on again.
Peter, have you been following the events that have been unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico?
I have been.
I saw an interesting computer model this morning which projected out where this oil is likely to go if it continues to spill for another, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks. And it looked pretty darn disturbing. It's going to go down to, you know, the tip of Florida and then get picked up with a northerly current. And basically, it's going to be heading your way.
That's what it appears, and suddenly it's no longer just a regional problem, but now more people are, even in my area here, getting more vocal and more upset about it.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the reason TJ's a bit late is that that they're scrambling in Florida. It's heading their way, and I know that he's part of the radio task force, if you will, that works on disasters. So that's likely what the holdup is. As always, our phone lines are open, and the number to call is area code 646-378-1120. And also our chat room is open, and we are monitoring it. So if you have any questions, you can always ask them there. Okay, let's kick off with a Kaylee Anthony update. Jen, what were the low spots in the case this week?
Well, there was more court drama over the case this week. But, of course, at the beginning, we can't leave this part out. On her way into court, Casey had a little fall. They claim that she became her shackles and stuff were apparently tangled up, and she fell. And reports are that she had a chipped tooth from it. But before that came out, when the reporters asked Baez about her, he said, he couldn't say anything, comment on her condition, other than the fact that it was bad enough that she had to have medical attention from it. Now, I've had a chipped tooth before, but it's bad, but it's not an emergency thing life and death thing like they made it sound like, but you'd have to look at her fall. They do have a video of it that is a little entertaining.
Peter, do you think that Baez will be putting forward a motion to bring on a chipped tooth expert for the trial?
Well, because she's indigent, the people of Florida are going to be putting the bill for the tooth repair.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw his comment as well, and he obviously has such a flair for the dramatic that I think he doesn't know how to turn it off, because that wasn't a place where drama was needed or helpful.
Exactly.
But he just keeps spewing those things out.
Yeah, that's the exact opinion I had on it, too. But anyway, there was other things, too, that there was more.
Well, actually, before you move on, what is important here is that Judge Perry, as opposed to Strickland, said, okay, we're going to hold this hearing anyway.
Oh, yeah, he definitely didn't put it off. He went on and had it, but what else could he do? They excused her from the appearance, I guess. I don't know how exactly what happened from that point until they started, but they did have the hearing anyway. So everything didn't stop because of her.
Okay, now, this hearing, there were a number of motions, most of which were denied. Do you want to tell us about those, Jan?
Well, basically, the one that was denied was where Baez was wanting, now that he was not denied, it was a decision's going to be made later this week, or this week coming, rather, where he wants the, all the jail visitation records to be sealed. In other words, Baez doesn't want the public to know who's going in there to visit Casey. And I'm sure he's got his reasons, but which to me is silly, but I guess he's got his reasons. And Judge Perry did decide to, he didn't turn it down. He just said he would make a decision later on this week, coming. So.
Peter, do you have any clue at all why they would want to limit access to the visitation logs?
You know, I got the sense that it might have been more about Jose Baez trying to flex his muscles before the prosecutors and make himself appear like he's in some form of control or doing something on behalf of his client's best interest. He's been heavily criticized for doing nothing, because nothing is what he has done. And to me, it looked like it was just one of these silly plays that he does sometimes. But notice, if I heard the judge correctly, the type of questioning the judge is throwing at Jose Baez are stunning. How many of your indigent clients from that particular jail have you sought to have these records kept from the public? That sort of thing. That's his line of questioning. That's great stuff.
Yeah. Well, they claim, too, that whenever the logs and stuff, if they don't keep it private, that it keeps them from being able to properly prepare for their case, is what they claim. But I don't know. But the judge did say he would take it under advisement and make a decision later on it. So, but I don't know. But anyway, I guess you want to go on to the rest of it. We also had where the defense wanted to, they're trying to still get a better explanation as to why the state seems to be really adamant about seeking the death penalty in the case. And they wanted to know the reasons that they were given. They claimed that isn't enough evidence. In other words, they haven't proven it to the defense. And they said the state has failed to provide any indication in the evidence that it intends to rely on to prove the existence. Oh, but the judge did say, you know, that he denied their remark. He thinks that the state has complied with the ruling that he gave them, and so he did deny it.
I thought the original ruling was quite cute, actually. You know, there are 15 reasons why, you know, we could seek the death penalty. We'll tell you 9 of them that we're not using.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to be an astrophysicist to figure it out. I mean, Peter, am I right?
Yeah, I think that any time he has a chance to make himself appear, even in the slightest way, to perhaps even the lowest common denominator, that he's doing something on behalf of Casey, it can make him have the ability to raise his rates for other clients and that sort of thing. But it's at the point where we'd call it silly. It's not sensible, and I think that the judge, one of the things he does is he doesn't rule very often from the bench, which I like that, because his response is not only going to be slow and thoughtful, but I think it's going to be powerful. And I think that it's going to come to a point where Jose Baez is going to receive yet another very powerful review from this judge. He's a smart man up there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
To seek the death penalty, that there has to be an aggravating factor. And I mean, it's obvious that there are many potentials, well, at least six, that could be used in this case. I mean, number one, the death concerns a minor, a child under 12, I believe, is the way the statute is written. I mean, I don't understand quite what Baez wants. I mean, well, I'll rephrase that. I do understand what he wants. He wants the prosecution to turn over, soup to nuts, what their case is. Now, you know, I can't think of a situation where a prosecution in any trial has been asked to do that. Can you think of one, Peter?
No, I can't. As a matter of fact, I can't think of another case, media or not, that has been this transparent in terms of the evidence and what the prosecution have. I don't even see his need for wanting to find out what they have on Casey Anthony. It's all out there. It's been out there from the beginning. It's
right.
Very plain. Yeah, it's very clear. I see him as stalling. I see him as making attempts to make himself look good. I don't see any substance or anywhere in this. This is like the fishing expedition with the ugly coping. Everything he does is getting shot down. Nothing is working.
Right.
Jen, I believe Baez wanted to revisit some of Strickland's rulings as well.
Yeah, he sure did. He wanted the Judge Perry to reconsider some of the decisions that Judge Strickland had made, which include one of them is the interview of Joe Jordan, who was a volunteer for Texas Equisearch, that illegally recorded a conversation he had with a defense investigator without the investigator's consent. And the prosecution argued that it would, in other words, Baez wants this recording. And the prosecution argued that it would violate the law if they listened to the recording. So they haven't made it available to the defense. And even though the defense seems to think that this recording could also help their case when they're trying to prove that Kaylee's body wasn't placed there after Casey had went to jail over this, but Judge Perry did agree with the prosecution, and he did deny the request, which I think
I don't believe it.
Too.
Yeah, I don't think Judge Perry is going to embarrass or humiliate Judge Strickland in any way, and I don't think he's going to allow Baez to take it that far. He went on with the hearing in spite of Casey's trip, stumble, and fall. I think he's very fair-minded in that sense. I think he's very cautious, but I don't believe. I think that everyone has their limits, and I think that Baez foolishly is going to be pushing Judge Perry to his limit, where he is going to undrape him in one sentence, one blow, and Baez is going to be stuck in a place where he's going to be like a beat puppy. And then we'll hear more from the yellow fellows, the good old southern boy there, Cheney.
Oh, yeah.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
You need to trust me, Judge.
Actually, on a more humorous note, in an earlier hearing, Colonel Sanders was arguing that he really needed to get the taxpayers to fess up for a jury consulting company. Perry's response was classic. Oh, we've been to trial before. You're very good at picking your jurors. You don't need any help.
That was great. He is not taking any nonsense. It seemed to me, Judge Strickland's a very intelligent man, but he seemed that he was overly concerned, perhaps, with the environment and the atmosphere in the courthouse. And I think both of these men are making very sure that there is no grounds for an appeal, at least on their part.
Right.
But there seems to be a stronger element of no-nonsense with Judge Perry, and I think that Baez got away with an awful lot. I think at times he crossed into being disrespectful. I will tell you this, and I'll go on record as saying it because I heard it and I reviewed the tape again. Jose Baez uses language of deception when he speaks, and I think the public heard it clearly even with an untrained ear, when he spoke about the American Broadcasting Company, for instance, he jumps verb tenses, past, present, because some things he's making up on the fly. He reminds me of the TV show The Office with Michael Scott, the manager, when he begins to lie and he blends words, and instead of saying yes, he'll say yes, and he'll do anything to hide behind the what he really doesn't want to say. That is exactly what Baez is doing in that courthouse at times. He is parsing words. Perhaps.
Who was teaching who for those 6 hours a day in Baez's office?
Has he and his shenanigans sunk the possibility of Casey ever receiving a plea bargain in all the past 2 years of his insults and his taunts and everything else? Remember, the prosecutors are men and women of flesh and blood. They're not robots and they're not a machine. Law enforcement are not robots. They're not machines. They're flesh and blood. He insulted them from the beginning. He insulted the state investigators, the local investigators. He insulted the FBI. He insulted prosecution repeatedly. He insulted Judge Strickland, and that's why Strickland came back in that written response where he said about seeking the media attention, indeed, that great phrase he claimed at the end.
Right.
I tell you, I'm very concerned that Casey may end up having grounds for an appeal on ineffective counsel because this guy has personally gone about insulting everyone, and I think that in many ways they may feel deep down, not only do I not want to give her a plea bargain for what she has done, but boy, oh boy, I don't like that attorney very much.
But isn't that why Judge Strickland made it public and made her publicly admit, whatever you want to call it, acknowledge that she was aware of how her attorney was handling the case? Because
she
couldn't come back and say, well, I didn't know how he was doing it. I didn't know what he was doing.
Yes, very good point.
She admitted in court that she was aware of what was going on, and he definitely made her do that so that way she wouldn't have grounds for that to come back and say, well, I didn't know how my attorney was handling this. Maybe not in those words, but,
Sure.
That's the way I understood it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
No, very good point.
Yeah, absolutely. The deal was, okay, I'm not going to give you any wriggle room, right? If, I want you in my courtroom for every hearing.
Exactly. So that way they couldn't come back and say, well, she couldn't come back and say, well, I didn't know my attorney was doing this, or I didn't know this was how he was handling my case, or, he didn't tell me this was an option for me, or whatever. And that's why he wanted her in the court every time they did have a hearing, because of that.
Okay, Jen, there was something else that was denied, which I thought was fairly humorous. Apparently, Baez wants access to some grand jury testimony.
Yeah, that he wanted the access to the testimony that George Anthony made for the grand jury, and which Judge Strickland had ruled against. And Judge Perry agreed with Judge Strickland's ruling and denied the request as well. So, he was trying to go over Judge Strickland's rulings again there. But Judge Perry wouldn't go for it. He said, no way. So
again, Peter, I know that you're not an attorney. You, at least I don't think you are, because you haven't sued me yet. I would think it would be pretty unusual for a judge to unseal a grand jury testimony.
Yeah, highly unusual. I think that, again, Baez is just fishing, but I think that in the George Anthony thing, what he's doing is, there's going to be a terrible falling out between the Anthonys, and I can't see any of them surviving much longer anyway, but I think he's going to portray George, his mental health history, up on the stand and seek to discredit anything that went on in the grand jury. I think that's what he's looking after.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I said that whenever the attempted suicide theory came out, that's what they were doing. They were playing it up on it like that because of that. I don't believe he tried to commit suicide, though, to be honest with you. And
I'm going to agree with you on that, Jan, because the language that some of the things that he had used instead of that time was somewhat deceptive. Not highly, but somewhat. However, when Cindy went on and said, well, I too thought of suicide, in that particular interview, she was lying.
Oh, yes, she was lying. She wanted some attention, too, is what she wanted, to make people think that she was really this depressed that she thought about taking her life also. And I don't believe that either. I don't think either one of them attempted or even thought about it.
I have to disagree with both of you. I understand your rationale. However, I do firmly believe that George has considered suicide.
No, I don't.
Hell, he's married to Cindy.
Well, yeah, but that's a different story.
Yeah, I think that
wasn't his reason to have done it this time.
I think George may have been sincere in the suicide attempt. I don't think it was beyond any of them to use it, attempt to use it for Casey's advantage. George has other reasons too. I mean, he's a man that is about 60 years of age, who hasn't accomplished anything yet in life, who has lived off his wife all these years. He's been pretty battered down and really accomplished very little in his life. However, Cindy, I believe, was being deceptive when she said that. Now, has Cindy thought about killing herself? I think so, plenty of times. Do I think that she was serious about it? No, I don't. I think Cindy has far too much fight in her, far too much to gain in terms of the monetary. She's got that life that she boasted to Casey when Casey said, I saw your cameo, Mom. Instead of saying, hey, why do you use the word cameo? She said, oh, which one, dear? Ooh.
I remember her saying that.
And so George has some mental health issues. I think that's pretty obvious. So I don't mean to come across saying that George has not contemplated suicide. I couldn't say that. I think that Cindy's, at that timing and everything else, was staged. I don't believe it for a minute.
Right, and I'm inclined to believe you. Okay, but Baez was also whining about having access to the original slew of tips that came in.
Yeah, he said that, you know, with the law enforcement tips, that he wants that has dated back since before Kaylee went her remains were found. But Linda Drain Burdick, I think that's how you pronounce her last name, stood up and told the judge that they are available, but he's going to pay the price of $1,600 for them. He's not going to get them for free. So Judge Perry told him, you know, if he wants the records, make a public records request like everybody else does and use the public money that he's approved of for the defense to pay for the documents, because he's not getting them for free.
Actually, on the subject of those tips, I believe the first time that Baez went after this subject, he was whining that he did have some, but the only ones that the cops gave him were the ones from the psychics.
Well, he had them all available, but he never went and picked them up because I guess he didn't want to pay for them. So, I mean, she told him that they were available for him, but he's just going to have to pay the price for them.
Okay, on Friday there were a slew of depots taken by Baez, and reports have it that they were uncharacteristically short. Was this another fishing expedition gone bad?
That I wish I could tell you something about, but I haven't had a chance to go over that. And see, all I know is that there was some done.
Do you have any insight, Peter?
I think that he has nothing to go for. I really don't. I don't know what he can do other than confirm their original statements. And the process of what he's doing is he's looking at their original statements and their testimony, reviewing it with them, and then looking to shoot holes in it by asking some pointed and difficult questions. This is why some of those high-powered attorneys have such high training in language. They're really good at this. I think that, A, we're not dealing with with the best and brightest in terms of attorneys. That's, you know, an understatement of the year, perhaps. But we're not. We're not dealing with someone that that of this high profile can handle this thing. Two, he doesn't have material to go after, that I can see. So if we review your original statements of different people that have been part, like the neighbor, for instance, he doesn't have much to deal with.
He's probably not getting the answers he wants to hear from them. So.
Yeah, that's another clue also. If they're very short, it means there was no conflict. If there was no conflict, there's nothing for bias to go on.
Right.
I thought the neighbor would have been perhaps maybe something of substance for him to grab onto, because the neighbor, that's part of that has been rumor, part of it's been speculation, and part of it has been his testimony. Did Casey come over to borrow a shovel or didn't she? What was found on the shovel? Where did the dirt come from? Those sort of things. So Baez had some things to dig after. The fact that it went such a brief deposition tells me he ended up getting nothing.
Yeah.
That's what I would say, too.
The really sad thing is that, and I'm sure most of you are aware of this, next month marks the 2-year anniversary of that infamous 911 call from Cindy Anthony. So this month actually marks the 2 years that the little girl's been dead.
You're right. Father's Day's come upon us. You're right.
Yeah.
I think I've been thinking so much about the Haley Cummings case that I've, and there hasn't been much in terms of breaking news in Casey Anthony. I've forgotten that the Father's Day was the end of her life.
That's true.
That period of time.
Yep. 2 years. It's an awful long time. And, you know, I want everyone to, you know, get their fair shake when they're accused of something. But, you know, it's been 2 years. We've still got another year to go before this makes it to trial. I'm sorry, I'm at a loss. Why does it take so long?
I don't know. I wish I knew the answer. Go ahead.
I don't think it would have taken this long had Judge Perry been on it from the beginning. This is where I saw the...
He's telling him now, let's get this done. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we look at the mountain of evidence and experts that was in the O.J. Simpson. What did it take them, 8 or 9 months to get prepared together?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this is where Judge Strickland's weakness was. I think he was so overly cautious that he allowed nonsense after nonsense to drag, and it works in the defense best interest, obviously, because memories fade and that sort of thing. Judge Perry, I think if Judge Perry had been on it from the beginning, she would have already gone through the sentencing phase, and we've already would have had an appeal filed. I really do.
Yeah, I think so.
In fact, I don't think that the trial itself is going to drag on as long as people think it is, because I don't think he's going to allow it. I think he's going to make Baez move on. When Baez has nothing in cross-examination, the judge is going to ask him, do you have any relevant questions? No, then we're going to move on. And I think he's going to do that very firmly.
Right.
So I think it's going to be shorter than people think. Because even the experts that he has, where are the two-day testimonies? Where are the breakdown of information? We've come a long way in DNA than from the time of O.J. We've got advances. People know these things. I think that the lengthiness is going to be in the jury selection. That should be an interesting dogfight.
Yeah, that is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, except that even jury selection, as I understand it, there's only so many jurors that you can... reject.
I'm not sure what the standards are there, but I know that he's going to be permitted to ask a lot of questions, and he appears, from what I can tell, to be looking for the demographics of Hispanics in Hispanic areas, which is an interesting thing because he himself is Hispanic, yet Cindy Anthony has been quoted as saying that she does not like Hispanics and wouldn't allow Hispanic friends in the home.
Right.
He's got to be very careful with that, playing that race card.
Ooh, yeah, that's a scary one. Actually, let's move on to the Haley Cummings case. We didn't run a program last Sunday, so I guess we have 2 weeks worth to catch up on. But let's start with the most recent events. This week, Tommy pled nolo contendere to his drug charge. And I'm really interested in getting your ideas, Peter. Why would he plead a nolo?
I think this was a true bombshell that didn't seem to explode quite over the airways that I thought it would. I believe that he has pled no contest because Ronald Cummings, the sources that told you that Ronald Cummings had a deal, were likely correct and that Ronald beat him to the point. He must have no credibility left because he has lied and changed his story so many times. They've got something on the table with Ronald. They've got information. There's nothing he can barter with at this point. So I thought he would race to make a deal. I think he shot himself in the foot. I think his attorney did him no favors by floating the different things that he floated on, including on television, and he was out of options, Simon. He was out of options. I think he's got some real serious problems coming ahead of him.
But, I mean, Nolo didn't work so well for Hope Sykes.
No, it did not.
Tommy,
and that was
he's only going to get to 3 years. I mean, he seems to be totally convinced that that's what he's going to get out of this. And, I mean, it can backfire on him because that's just the minimum. I mean, they can give him a lot more than that.
Actually, the numbers keep changing.
Yeah.
Tommy the Optimist was talking about doing 3 years, but with time served and good behavior, it would actually be closer to 2 years. Now we're hearing that he's actually looking at 44 months.
That's correct.
And that's, in my mind, a season short of 4 years.
No, that is the minimum he's facing.
Right.
The 44 months. That's what I have. He could be sentenced hypothetically up to 30 years. We know he has a record. A, B. I think that because he had nothing to give them, he may have even misled them down to the water docks where they were. We haven't heard anything about that from law enforcement, at least that I haven't heard. There may be some real anger. And I would not be surprised to see him not walk away with a 3-year sentence. I think it's going to be perhaps more, but I think later, as the Haley and Cummings, and you heard me say this before, Simon and Jen, I think a grand jury is coming, and I still believe that we're going to get answers within the next few months, including the June-July period into August where these people are sentenced, because Misty's up soon after that.
Yeah.
Right, and... You know, before we leave Tommy, he also faces some additional charges. So, you know, it's not like those are going to go away. They're, you know, unrelated crimes, but, you know, the law enforcement isn't going to say, oh, we'll just forget about these. So, I mean, there's, well, at least in my mind, I can't see him getting out in 44 months.
Not at all. And they are going to bring those other charges to adjudication as well. They're not going away. They're not going to pat him on the back and say, well, you've suffered enough. He's going to answer to the he's got the gun theft charge. Did he also falsify a doctor's script? Was that part of that?
Oh, you know, I'm not sure about that.
Because there's some compound elements involved in the charges, and sometimes the devil's in the details of those things. So the minimum that I knew of was the 44 months, but the maximum, I think, was 30 years, which I don't think he'll get. However, I do think that when all is said and done, the other charges may be pushing that sentence up quite a bit, and that's before his involvement in Haley Cummings. He did place himself at the crime scene. So I think we're going to have quite a thunderstorm coming his way.
Oh, yes, and I think you're correct there.
If he thinks he's going to walk in 3 years or 2 years and 3 months on good behavior, he's listening to the jailhouse chatter and he's running for cellmate president, but he's not going to get that. I don't see that at all.
Okay, I believe that in Tommy's mind, which I have to admit sounds like a pretty strange place, you know, he thinks that he's been helpful. But my question, and I'll ask the pair of you, you know, is Tommy's information worth the paper it's written on?
Ladies first.
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking me.
Well, you know, did he or did he not knock on the door?
Well, that depends on who wants to believe him. I mean, I can't tell you whether or not he did it or he didn't do it because I wasn't there, but, I mean, one minute he says he did, the next minute he says he didn't, and so how are we supposed to believe it? I don't believe anything he says. I don't believe anything any of them tell you, so.
Oh, well, there was an interesting audio that TJ and I dug up last weekend. It was the post-lie detector test discussion between Tommy and Lindsay. And in one part of that tape, she actually comes out with the statement, "All of you effing crosslands are effing liars."
Yeah, well.
I don't think she was, telling lies. Actually, we do have a piece of that tape queued up, kind of, sort of. My editing software decided to go on the fritz. So we've had to MacGyver this a little bit, but it's a four-minute segment, and it's from the lie detector test phone call. Jan, take it away.
Okay.
Hey.
What's up, baby?
So then I had to go change because I was indecent.
Do what?
Yeah, I had a pair of shorts on.
Yeah, I did that thing this morning. It was pretty stupid, too. They didn't ask me nothing about it either.
Okay, can we talk about it? Not talk about it?
Alright, well, you talk to my lawyer?
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
Alright.
So.
Yeah, but it was pretty pointless.
You're probably getting 3 years.
How do you know?
Because.
Is that what he said?
Yep.
We'll see what happens. I hope not.
I'll have to say I'm not playing any more games anymore. I'm done.
I know.
I
hope I don't do that.
Yeah, well, you are. Just to let you know. I told you everything that happens in there is going to make or break you, and it broke you. That's all I have to say.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're going down the same path your sister is.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I know.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Quit. So, hope you enjoy your 3 years.
Why are you saying that? What's that talking like that for? I doubt I'm going to even get that. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I was already told that wasn't going to help me anyway.
No. It didn't, so.
It wasn't going to anyway, but it's bullshit any damn way. They didn't ask me nothing.
Will you stop? Yeah, keep talking about it, okay?
Well, we'll see what happens. I love you.
Yeah, you've embarrassed me. I have nothing to say to you.
How's that? Huh?
I stay behind you and make myself look like an idiot.
You do what now? Say that again.
I'm stuck behind you and make myself look like an idiot.
Was it shutting you?
Not anymore, no.
Well, that's how it's going to be?
Yeah. I I mean, you pretty much made yourself look like an idiot.
I didn't do nothing anyway, Lindsay, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I hope you can afford a lawyer when all this stuff's over with.
Oh, I have one. This shit didn't, it was stupid anyway, Lindsay.
Oh, well,
they didn't ask me nothing about nothing.
Oh, well.
Now, one question. It was a bunch of bullshit. Well, I'm telling you, it was not one question about my niece, so.
Yeah, well, I know.
There was not but one question about anything. It was bullshit.
Well, can you see how much time we have left?
No.
Yeah.
You don't need to be mad at me. There's no reason for it.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Now, what's the reason?
I'm not getting into it on the phone, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Who cares? Fuck, I don't give a fuck.
I do.
I know there was a bunch of bullshit. They asked me one question about knocking on the door. That's it. That's the only fucking question they asked me.
And you couldn't even tell the truth?
I did tell the truth.
Okay, well, not by what they said, so. I don't want to talk about it anymore because I'm not supposed to be talking about it, okay?
All right. All that bullshit is all I can say to you.
It's an interesting clip, particularly the last sentence.
Yeah. They know. They just can't control themselves when they're talking that way. There's too much emotion involved there.
Essentially it's, you know, Lindsay saying, well, you can't even tell the truth about, you know, whether or not you knocked on a stinking door.
I'm sorry.
No, carry on, Peter.
In statement analysis, we begin with a premise that most people disagree with, and there's a good reason for it. When someone changes story a lot, one of the things that a liar likes to happen is a liar likes to confuse the water so much that people will just say, I can't believe anything anyone says, and they throw it all out. We don't do that way because we'll miss too much vital information. I believe that Tommy did knock at the door in spite of the change of stories, and I think that's cost him a great deal in terms of his legal troubles. And I think that cell phone things and whatever type of evidence will corroborate that, because with a liar, we need to corroborate the evidence of what they're saying. But again, we go back to the words that they choose to use. And the words that they use, even when they're lying, are words that are in their memory bank for a reason. And I do think there are certain things that are very, very relevant to this case, which are being attempted to be muddled by the lies. I think we're going to prove that Tommy was there, and I think that Ronald has enough on Tommy that in his own deal, he's getting just, and I said that with the emphasis, just 15 years, because he's given, I think, Tommy and Misty up. I really do.
Mm.
So unless someone...
Oh, sorry, carry on, Peter.
It's called total faith in the text. I can show you fascinating statements by thieves, for instance, where every sentence they say is true. Everything they say is truth. It's what they leave out that makes the whole thing deceptive. They leave out, for instance, that they are the ones that stole. There are many things that Casey Anthony, Misty Croslin, Tommy Croslin, and others have said that are actually truthful statements. They're deceptive, and they're purposely deceptive because they're edited out, but the words they choose are what I lean on and what I grab. And Simon, this work solves cases in an amazing way. I go back to that example of Cindy Anthony when she said, George and I don't believe that Kaylee's in the woods, or anything like that. She rightfully saying is she's lying. She knows where the baby is, and that's why Woods came into her mind. So we grab those words. Tommy said he went and knocked at that door. Ronald allegedly had called him and asked him to do that. There's going to be proof about those things. And so when Tommy failed the polygraphs, because as you've said before and others on the program have said before, when someone passes a polygraph, it's shouted from the housetops. When he failed the polygraphs, I think that law enforcement said, that's enough, we're done with your nonsense. And there was no deal for him.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I mean, Jan, from a woman's perspective, I mean, what did you make of that clip we just played? Lindsay is pretty darn upset.
Yeah, but it's really kind of hard to tell if whether or not Lindsay knew about all this for sure. I mean, my take is that she did know and she was expecting him to go ahead and tell the truth. And he didn't, apparently, because that's what she said, that they said that he didn't tell the truth. So, I mean, I really think that she knows more, a lot more than what she's making everybody think she knows. But not to say that she's involved in it, but I think she knows because there's so many times, like just for instance, the call that Tommy made to his grandmother, and whenever they were talking about when she said, did he do it? She asked, did he do it? And he said, no. And he says, you know, it's the same story. She knows everything about it anyway. So apparently he has talked to her about this, and she does know what's going on. But he's just not telling the cops everything, and that's what she's upset about. She thinks he should.
Simon, Jan has picked up the fact that she is presupposing that he is going to tell the polygrapher what he has already told her. And that's, I think one of the things that I hear in her voice is, which something that happens when it's over, is resignation. There wasn't fight in that voice. She's done. She's toast.
Right.
She's
right.
Cooked. But I think, Jan, you're exactly correct that there are things that she knows, or at least she believes to be true, that came from his mouth that she expected very simply for him to go and tell the truth. And then I think that what she was talking about there in this conversation was that she's upset because she thought there was going to be a deal. And
right.
She is alone again, and I think that she's betrayed. He not only did he involve himself in many crimes, but, I mean, he was arrested for the hydrocodone pass out, he had the drug trafficking, the stolen gun, et cetera, but he's betrayed her now. And she is embarrassed and humiliated.
And she's
and
had
when
enough.
A woman loses, yeah, she's lost respect for him. And
right.
There's this... That's the death toll.
Okay, I'm very pleased to say that we did have some technical issues, but we seem to have them resolved. And unless I'm very much mistaken, we have the infamous T.J. Hart with us.
And he's even more infamous telephone.
Hi, T.J.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, T.J.
Hey.
How's your day going?
It could be better. A lot of thunderstorms in the area, and playing some havoc with electricity and a lot of things around here. Right now, sunshine, so we'll take it while we can until the next front moves through.
Okay, I'm gonna wind the show back to the very beginning. I was watching a computer model this morning of this nasty BP oil spill problem. And
mm-hmm.
It projects it out to 2 months, and boy, there's not going to be a clean beach in Florida.
No, there's not. A lot of people are trying to fight the reality that might happen and probably will happen. And I got to tell you, we like to think of this as paradise, and the only price we pay is an occasional hurricane now and then. And now it seems like a way of life for so many people are going to be changed to. For the next conceivable, 10, 15, 20 years, and we're not happy. And we'll just have to see how this all comes through. But, one day at a time.
Do you want to give us your take on this week's activity in the Haley Cummings case?
Yeah, I mean, superficially, you had Tommy coming in and, pleading out and only getting a minimum for one of his crimes, but he's got a few more to answer for. And, of course, there's going to be an investigation into a few of the things, I guess, that he's brought to light if our reporters reported correctly. And depending on that, we'll see what happens. But it seems that his attorney, Warder, said that Tommy wants to put all this behind him. But how much of it's going to be behind him? I'm not buying too much of what I've been hearing on the videos that we've been seeing of Flora Hollers talking about Tommy's story and some of the telephone calls that were released about Tommy's story. I think there's a lot of gray area in there, and there's a real good possibility that he might not have been completely truthful when talking about possibly where a body was taken with Haley concern. So it sounds to me like he was only... Oh, you just did? Okay. Great, yeah. It seems to me he was throwing a Hail Mary just to get out of jail. But in the other aspect of it was you got Missy getting ready to head into court. Her court date set for the 23rd. She's got until the 16th to make a plea. She's just stubborn enough that she might not do that. And, how many times has she listened to her lawyer in the past?
Yeah, but
and what's to be determined with Ron if he's going to take a plea deal and maybe turn evidence against her? A lot of pieces on the chessboard.
But there's no plea deal on the table. What
no, but she could plead. She could plea bargain, I guess. There was something that was reported by Tristan Chambers in the Palatka Daily News about August 16th being a deal for her. To enter a plea before the trial was set. I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. She could enter a plea prior to that, before the trial date comes to pass.
Mm.
So there's no deal on the table. You're correct in that.
Right, that's why I thought of it.
Brain there. Malfunction. But we'll see how this all transpires. You know, you got Ron's shoemaker working on behalf of Ron at this point in time, and it seems like there's a little old-fashioned game of chess that's being played out right now. And we'll see how this all happens with the lawyers and the dance of the elephants.
You know, I know we had several conversations a while back about, you know, okay, they're all in jail. Who's going to crack first? You know, who's going to plead out first? And I'll tell you what, the deals haven't worked out real good. I mean, Hope Sykes... 15 years, and she was the bit player.
Yeah, you know, like you guys had already covered before I came on board, that, you know, as little as it seems initially for Tommy, there's still a lot of things left to go. I mean, that's only one of many.
if they're able to conclusively show that Tommy lied about the doc, that would sink his deal. And that's, TJ, what you brought up there was what I was referring to. I think that Ronald beat them all to the punch. I think he may have given them enough solid information. They were tired of Tommy's repeated failures of polygraphs and repeated stories changing. They grabbed something from Ron, and they may be exchanging 15 years for some very serious information that is going to really bury Misty and Tommy. I think they both have had reason to be silent.
It's all going to be interesting how this... Well, I tell you what, dude. They've had something on each other for a long time because this has just been a wild little game of grab ass for about the last day, for about the last year. So, you know,
but the information that they've had has been so severe on each other that that's what's kept them silent. And when people say, you know, people can't keep secrets like this, oh yeah, they can. When there is this much on the line, they can and will be quiet. The reason why you're living with Johnson.
What is that they always say, self-interest is the best interest?
Sure. Elizabeth Johnson knows how to be quiet in jail for a long, long time, and she'll keep being quiet because anything that opens her mouth is going to harm her. And I think that's what Misty and Tommy have been playing, that game of chicken. And while they were playing, the leader, the one who didn't want anyone to rat out anybody, their leader cracked first.
Well, that remains to be seen. I'm going to see how this plays out in a court of law.
Okay,
but it's going to be interesting.
Well, let's go out to the phone lines. We have someone coming in from the 757 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, Simon. This is Mitzi.
Hi,
hello.
Yep, carry on.
Okay, hi. Yes, I have a couple questions. I know that you have been trying in the past to get the jail conversations or audio from, I guess, Putnam County.
Yes.
Because we haven't heard anything from Ronald Cummings. I know that you did try. I was just wondering if you've heard anything lately.
No, I haven't. I did put in an inquiry, and I received a rather strange email response from Putnam County, which seemed to rather fly in the opposite direction of the Sunshine Law. It went along the lines of, no, we don't bother to record them because they're boring. Now, this was about 2 weeks before Ron took the plea deal, and I have to admit, my suspicious mind goes, oh, I wonder.
Okay, and my next question is, thank you so much, my next question is, do you know anything about the search at Dunn's Creek? I think the media found out about that, but they spoke about it on the audios. Tommy and Lindsay, I think, or one of them, were talking about a search happening over at Dunn's Creek.
You know, I really don't. Is this the infamous fake search that we're talking about, or
no? This is recent. This is after the search at St. John's at the river.
Honestly,
either after or right before.
Yeah, honestly, I do not.
I don't either.
Yeah, and I haven't heard any, definite yay or nay that it happened. I'd like to ask TJ that, but he's in thunderstorm hell right now. We just lost him again. But
okay.
I'm sure he'll be back, and I will ask him when he reconnects, when he finds a landline that works.
Okay, and then three more questions real quick, sorry. Do we know anything regarding Tommy's red truck yet? Do we know if Lee still has, law enforcement still has it? Have you heard anything about that?
Nope, haven't heard anything. The last I heard was that law enforcement didn't have it. I believe it's out of state.
Out of state, okay. That's new information. Thank you. And my next question is, have you been able to find out if Lindsay really threw away Tommy and Timmy's boots, or did she hand them over to Lee?
Oh, no clue on that one.
Oh, I know.
No clue.
She said she threw them away, but I don't know if she actually gave them over, handed them over or not. She claims that she threw both of them away, so.
Right.
And, the thing is, the more I listen to Lindsay, the more firmly convinced I am that she's about the only person in the bunch that actually tells the truth. So I'm inclined to believe if she says she threw them away, she threw them away. Peter, what's your thoughts on that?
I didn't know much about that at all.
No, just talk about Lindsay in general.
I have some concerns on some of the language she uses. I wanted to have someone I could say there's a truthful person who's really more of a victim than anything else in this whole thing, but she appears to me to be withholding information. It may be that she only knows the things that Tommy has told her and believes them and then feels betrayed, or it may be that she is withholding information. But I think that I just have a gut thing. I'm sorry I don't have her statements in front of me, but there was one thing recently, it was something that she had written that had a couple red flags to it.
I think she knows what Tommy,
I don't think she was involved in this, but I do.
No, I don't either.
Tommy has told her his story, and I believe that she wants to believe him. And when he's not coming out with it, like when he says he's telling the truth, and he's it's not what he apparently told her, she's accusing him of lying because of that, and I think it's confusing her also, and she's just had enough of it, and I think that she just thinks that she just can't take anymore, which I don't blame her when it comes
I think
to
she's,
like that.
I think she's one of the reasons why Tommy may have entered a plea. I think that he knows that he's lost her, and there is no source of information. Like, there's an ex. You grab the ex, you get everything you can from an ex, and an ex can really, really go off. We have to be careful what we take, but boy, they want to give it out pretty heavily. So I think that he burned that bridge just too often, and it wasn't wise, and we heard it on this program. It wasn't wise for him to be ragging on her so heavily about spending money on paying bills while he was in jail demanding the money be put into his account. That was just awful.
Right.
So I think he's burned that bridge pretty badly.
Mitzi, I know that didn't quite answer your question, but that's the best we have to go with right now.
Okay, that's fine. And then I have another question. What are your thoughts regarding Ron's attorney, Terry Shoemaker, I think is his name, had filed a motion to reduce his bond. And then when it was time to go to court, I guess we didn't know if it was going to be continued, but they actually withdrew the motions to reduce his bond. I found that kind of odd.
Oh, I found it bizarre. Jan, didn't you view it as strange?
Well, it is kind of odd, but I'd like to know their reasons for it myself.
It's usually an indicator that a deal is out there.
Right. Well, it must have been. They must have said, well, if we don't reduce the bond, maybe we can just offer you this deal, or maybe they just decided to offer the deal instead.
I think that would be the confirmation, like an external confirmation that a deal was being in the works, being brokered there, because he no longer felt the need to press that forward. So I think that they have, in their minds at least, not technically yet, but they're in their minds they have a resolution to this case, to the drug case with Ronald.
But what I can't understand is that if this deal that he's cutting is strictly to do with the drug case, what kind of deal could he possibly offer them? Because there was a video recording showing, obviously, that they were involved in this deal, this drug deal, and, I mean, that's evidence right there. That's they can't very well deny it, saying
no,
it's seen right there on tape.
No, he it would have to be about Haley Cummings because he has no currency to exchange with. And for them to even make a deal to give him 5 minutes off the sentence means that he has to give up relevant information. Now, there was no higher, as far as we know, these were fake scripts. People went doctor shopping, everyone had backaches, they got the scripts that way and through various dentist offices. So there's not like this huge source that they're going after of the higher people, the bigger fish. That leads me to believe it's completely about Haley.
Oh, it is. I mean, that there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, that they're making no attempt to, or seemingly no attempt to go after the people in the hierarchy.
We would have heard that had they done that. We would have gotten some kind of echo of the investigation going this way or that way. No, I think that originally, Simon, that you had reported about the deal in the makings, to me, this all around it has been a confirmation, and I think it's going to be real fascinating to hear.
Right.
The one person that we haven't heard anything about is Donna Brock. Where the hell is her case in all of this?
I'd like to know that myself.
Good question.
I think she goes to court on the 21st of June, but that can be continued as well, like everybody else.
I think the best indication of Donna Brock comes really, very sadly, from Hope Sykes, because Hope was only 18 she got a pretty massive, I mean, not a pretty massive, she got a massive sentence.
Right.
I don't know about Florida laws in terms of the juvie records, but regardless, 15 years is a long time, and I think Donna Brock's in real hot water. I think that was an indication of where this thing is going for her.
I think it's an indication for all of them.
Yeah, it really is.
You know,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say real quick that if Ron does have a plea, and if he has information regarding Haley, then that would mean that he knew what happened to Haley. So wouldn't they come after him?
That's like
in
almost
the other
like
case.
Me, I agree with you. That'd be almost like
yep.
an admission that he's known. If he's
right,
it's against him.
His statements have shown that he does know. That's not even a question at this point. What he knows in terms of that which is provable, I think that's one of the reasons he's willing to accept 15 years. It's very difficult for me, and someone please correct me, but it's very difficult for me to separate Haley going missing and Hope's sentence. Those two things are to me are linked, and I think that Ronald knew that for him to accept 15 years, which is a very long time, he won't get out until he's middle-aged. For him to accept 15 years on the OxyContin selling tells me that the information that he's giving up is powerful, and I think that we're going to see Tommy and Misty go down for this for the murder. I really do.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, 15 years is hardly what I would call a sweet deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does
well, no,
15 years
charge.
Does it even sound like a deal? Does 15 years even sound like a deal?
No.
No.
It has
I
to
mean,
be. We have to have a reference point. So if 15 years is a sweet deal that he's willing to take and give up information, what in the world was he facing?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it would sound like a deal if he's facing 40, 45 years or something like that. Then
yes.
Yeah, or even 30 years. That's half of it.
Sure.
So that would sound like a deal to him then, yeah? When you're looking at 30 years, 15 sounds much better.
Okay, but, you know, here's what bothers me. When I'm not covering this case, I hang out with a bunch of ex-mobsters. I mean, these guys, you know, have boosted banks for almost $1 million. That was, I think it was $900,000 was their biggest hit. They've whacked guys. They've done all sorts of egregious acts. And they actually spent, like, 4 years in
yeah,
jail.
You're right. You're right, Simon.
Right. You know,
where I live, if you kill a cat, you will get more time in jail than if you kill a child.
Yeah, I've seen places like that before.
It's where I live.
Right, but I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, I talk to these characters. I won't say every day, but you know, every few days, and you know, I go, how the hell can you, you know, have this resume that, you know, reads so horrific, you know, the things that you've done, and you get 4 years, and here's Ronald Cummings, you know, who likes to buy pills, and he gets 15 years.
If you look at the political climate today that people are campaigning on, in the local and then the major elections, there's a lot about prescription drug abuse. It's a political hot potato right now, and people are campaigning on this by itself. So they are getting more sentences and looking for more publicity by putting someone in jail because it's taken doctors' rates for insurance through the roof. Doctors are afraid to prescribe. It's affected a lot of society, so they've grabbed it. It's become a political issue. But I'm with you, Simon. I've seen those people, and I've been in court more than a few times where a major heist has gotten lighter sentences than Hope Sykes over
oh, yeah.
and over.
Oh, every time.
7 years would be a long time for some of the, and armed robbery too.
No, I mean, 15 years, terrible long time.
But I think that Hope Sykes' sentence is what convinced Ronald that he needed to do something. And I think it's what got Tommy in trouble, because Tommy thought he was going to outsmart everyone again, and it backfired and bit him. I had thought very strongly that Tommy was going to be the first one to make a deal. I thought he would be the first one. The person I thought who would be last would be Ronald. And so this came as a big surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement. I mean, you know, Tommy seemed the weak link. You know, Hope Sykes and Donna Brock seemed to bring nothing to the table other than that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. The weak link was definitely Tommy. But no, the weak link is definitely not Tommy. But Tommy thinks he's onto something, but he isn't.
No, he's sunk. He's sunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Misty's sunk as well. Ronald was the one, I think, who kept them, you know, the beheaded rat, who kept them silent, who kept them strong. She spoke for the past year in jail that she still loved him and everything else. And finally she's coming out saying, he betrayed me, he betrayed me. Well, unless he's dating someone named Bubba in the jail cell, I'm not sure how that betrayal would come. I shouldn't say that. How it came to be, unless it was in this, that she knew that a deal was on the way. It's interesting how quiet some of the attorneys have been for that very reason. I'd love to hear them speak.
Oh, yeah. I would love to hear them speak. And, oh, by the way, on the 4th, which was Friday, the Amber Alert for Haley was officially taken down. You found that, didn't you,
I didn't find it, but I read it somewhere. Someone had said it. But I'd like to know why they waited that long to take it down, if they claimed that ever since this search in the river that they were now considering it as a homicide. I mean, I just thought they would have done taking it down a lot sooner than now.
Okay,
Jen, I think that when they took it down, they had to sign certain documents saying why. And, boy, I'd love to read those documents, wouldn't you?
Yes, I definitely would.
Yep.
Yeah, because I thought
someone's signatures on
that. Once a child was found, or, you know, either way. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know all the rules.
Okay, Jen, I'm going to hit one of your hot buttons just because I can. How about Ma and Pa, Hank Sr. and Lisa?
Yeah, that is a very sensitive subject with me. What do you want to know? I think they're not getting a fair shake in this deal. I've got a very strong opinion about them, and yes, they have done a lot of bad things in their life, and yes, they have not raised their children the ideal way that most parents would want to raise their children, but I think that they truly love their kids, and I think that it could be a lot different. These two people could be out selling pictures of Misty, selling pictures of Tommy, selling pictures of them with Haley. They could be out trying to do whatever they can to make money. Instead, the two of them are living in a homeless shelter, not knowing where their next meal is going to come from. But do you see this stopping them from going visiting their kids when they can? No. Do you see it stopping them from putting minutes on their phone whenever they can? No. They truly care about these kids, and people are giving them the bad rap. I just don't think it's fair to them. They didn't do this. I mean, what are they guilty of when it comes to this? They're not guilty of anything, but yet they're having to pay a good price for it, and I definitely don't think it's fair. And everybody says, well, they should have raised their kids better, blah, blah, this. But it doesn't always work that way. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. I know people in my own family that have raised kids that were on crack themselves, and one child comes out in one particular member of my family, one child come out doing the same thing she did. It's lost in the world of crack right now,
And her other son is working for NASA, put himself through college, and he's a good kid. And you can't go by that. I mean, and he did this while his mother was doing all this stuff, too. So you cannot say that it's the parent, the way the parents are raising them. It, these children have a mind of their own, whether they want to use it or not. And it cannot, and it doesn't always work that way. But it doesn't mean that just because they weren't the ideal parents that it's their fault that their kids ended up like this. I really have a very strong feeling against that thought, and I cannot blame. I can't in good conscience blame the parents because of what happened, the lifestyle that their kids are leading. Even if they didn't make Misty go to school, my parents couldn't force my sister to go to school. And, I mean, it wasn't because they were bad parents. It was because they just couldn't keep her in school. So it's, I do have a strong feeling. Yes, Simon, you did press my button right there.
Peter, what do you make of Hank and Lisa?
You can't throw me to the wolves like that after that emotional response. Well, I think that, many things. I guess I'll cut it down to just one. I think that Hank and Lisa need to, if they want to know where their next meal is coming from, they need to do what they haven't done their entire lives, and is produce in society. There are those societies that have rewarded those that produce have always prospered. Societies that award people for being eventually collapse in debt. So I don't think that the people of Florida, I don't think it's very fair to have to support them their entire lives as they've wasted their whole lives on drugs. I just think it's very unfair. They need to support themselves and work for themselves and bear the consequences of their desire not to work and to be high all day.
Okay, I'm gonna hit another of Jen's hot buttons.
Oh boy.
Oh, I'm really good at it. I'm around a 24-hour day.
We're going to have some marriage counseling soon here.
How come there hasn't been more interest in the Sheffield side of the family?
Oh, Lord, you're going to get me in trouble here. That's something I have been asking for quite a while now. I don't know. I'd like to know who put them up on a pedestal and said that they're beyond guilt or that they could not possibly have done this. They have motive, just like everybody else that's involved in this could have. I mean, actually, I see more motive in their side than any of the other sides. But I don't know why they're untouchable. Why is it that they can't be suspects in all this? There's plenty of theories out there that could involve them as. And as a matter of fact, I've got a few theories that could possibly involve them that I'd really rather not bring out right now because I don't like to make accusations unless I know that it can, that it is really out there. But still, I don't think that they should be cleared completely in all this. There's a lot of motive there that people are just overlooking that could involve, they could be involved in. And yes, there are powerful members on that side of the family that people could be afraid of also. Tommy had said to his grandmother that he can't keep doing this or whatever the words were, that he threatened his family and all. Why does it have to be Joe just because the grandmother said Joe is who you're talking about? And maybe he agreed with her because he didn't want to come right out and say. Who's to say that it wasn't one of the Sheffields side of the family that threatened them for something that maybe they are afraid of?
Well, I've heard from several sources that Johnny Sheffield is a pretty interesting character, not one that you would want to cross.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, why is it that people are so dead set again, saying that there's no way that they couldn't do any of this? I don't know these people. I don't know any of them. I've never met any of them. So, I mean, looking from my point of view, any of them could be a suspect. Why are they being cleared just because they said no, that they wouldn't have done this? They could have come to Palatka. Just because they don't live right there doesn't mean that they couldn't have arranged this to happen. maybe they have something on somebody and blackmail them to go pick up Haley. Now, this is just a wild thing in my head. I'm just saying, giving examples, you know, it could have happened. Why couldn't it have happened? If they say that Tommy and Missy could have done this, what makes it any different? Why, how come Johnny and Marie and maybe not Crystal directly, but how come somebody on this, her what is it, Chad, that's her fiancé or whoever it is, that has stolen his own child, a year before this, and he's capable of it. So how come, what makes everybody think that he's not capable of doing this? I mean, Crystal was awful lot behind on her child support.
Well, I mean, that was the popular theory. Crystal had 12,000 reasons to, do something with Haley. Personally,
Simon,
I don't buy into it.
Simon, I think it's important that we remain open-minded, and the people that who comment on these sort of things, I think that they should speak up and give their reasons why they think that the Sheffield family may be involved. For me, I begin from the start. Misty's 911 call was deceptive. If the Sheffields are involved, they've involved with Misty.
Right.
But I can't get past the fact that Misty's call was deceptive. That litmus test has already been done, and she must have a reason. Those people that feel that the chef is involved, I wish they'd post more or call in more and give some reasons, because I'm open to hearing anything on it, and I think it's important to remain that way.
Maybe they have something on Misty that's really scared her. I mean, the girl seems to be afraid of something. I mean, I just can't seem to get it out of my head that part of what Misty is saying is true and part of it isn't. But I think part of it that she isn't telling the truth, that is because she is afraid of something.
With addicts, the motive usually is self. It's not hard to look beyond that. There's some form of self-preservation that's going on with Misty, with Tommy, with Ronald. But I think that looking at Crystal's history that we do know about, that she obviously has a history of substance abuse, and her motive would then be the same, is something self. For their own benefit. So I remain open to those things, but it would have to have an involvement with the big three, Ronald, Misty, and Tommy. Something where someone has something on each other or something like that.
Right.
I just need to hear more.
There is something somewhere down the line that nobody has thought of or come out with, that somebody has got something on somebody that is really big. Now, what it could be, I don't know, but there's got to be something that somebody has got on somebody that's scaring them.
These are intelligent people that are bringing forth the hypothesis. It's not just the idea of someone being just a conspiracy theorist type, but there are people that have real questions about that, and I wish we'd hear more. I wish they'd have
more
voice.
I do believe that the big three are in jail, and I do believe that they know everything, but
yes.
I suspect that there are other people involved. Has to be.
Well,
I don't think Crystal's going to get the Crystal's not going to get the Mother of the Year award anytime soon, that's for sure. But
no,
I think that Ronald's deal is going to really open this thing up. And if they don't call a grand jury, I think that they've got then more reason to not need a grand jury based on the cooperation of Ronald's disclosures. And I think that's what they're doing now, is running around and going through his disclosures. He may have taken a private poly with them to prove it for this deal, and I think that he's going to probably ring enough bells that they can verify and go forward with charges. Simon, I know we've talked about this maybe going on forever and ever. I think we're going to have formal charges come out perhaps even this summer.
Well, I think that maybe this is why we haven't heard any tapes released on about from Ronald. Maybe there is more that they know that they don't want released right now, because since no one has been arrested, they don't have to release it if it's to do with the Haley case. They don't want to jeopardize the case, perhaps, and maybe they do more know more than what they're leading us to believe that they do because of that.
I won't name the PCSO person that I talked to, but it wasn't the guy that cleans the office. I'll leave it at that. And you know, I was genuinely surprised at the email response I got back. Oh, they're boring. We don't even bother recording them.
Yeah,
sure. But I think that was just a blow off.
Of course.
Well,
we would have been glad to have the boring stuff, but they don't have to, because the charges aren't formally filed.
Right.
They don't have to release that material. But boy, oh boy, we're going to get some stuff after the charges do come down.
Yeah, they're going to be fighting for these recordings.
Oh boy.
note to Putnam County: when you do release them, please don't do what St. John's does, because it gives us heart failure dealing with those DVDs.
Oh. Well, all I know is that we need to find out what happened to Haley. Haley is the one that, we get lost in all these charges for the drug charges and all that, but we really need to find out what happened to Haley. That's what all this is supposed to be about to begin with. If it wasn't for this, you know, none of these people would be in jail for these charges, because they would have never been busted. And, I mean, like Tommy even said before, he's been through all this before and nobody's ever touched him until now. And we
that's
know
fair. That's a fair response.
That's exactly right. And this is what the reason that they are in behind bars right now. So we need to find out what happened to this little girl and bring some kind of justice to this. Whether, even though in my heart I still can't let go that she's alive, if she's gone, you know, let her be found, and that way she can be laid to rest. And if not, bring her home and at least let us know where she is and let us know that she's okay. Either way, somebody needs to let us know what happened to this baby.
Okay, we're just about out of time here. I want to switch gears completely just for 2 minutes. Joran van der Sloot, the gentleman that was accused of killing the girl in Aruba,
Natalie Holloway.
Yeah. Is now under arrest for a suspected murder in Peru. Have you followed this case at all, Peter?
I have.
I mean,
in fact, some of the things that he said in the car interview, and I don't have the notes in front of me, but they were first person, past tense, strong pronoun usage. I don't think he's a serial killer. I think he killed Natalie, and I think the filming, what we saw today, was where he goes into the building with her and leaves it without her. I think what he is a power and control rapist who, when he was bucked, he came back very, very strong and very quick and angry, and is just an entitled, spoiled brat who's blind to his own depravity. I think they got him, Simon. I think they got him.
Well, I think they have him, and you know, Natalie Holloway may not, or Natalie's family, you know, may not seek much solace in this, but I suspect that, you know, her murderer is going to jail for a very, very long time.
I think so, too. I think it's sad for them that had this been prosecuted properly in the first place and investigated properly, that other girl would be alive today. I think that's going to be hard for Natalie's family to embrace.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. Okay.
But his statements did indicate his guilt with Natalie Holloway. His own statements.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Well, let's go around the table real quick. Jan, your parting thoughts for
the
day?
Let's find Haley, find out what happened to this baby, and bring her home, one way or the other.
Peter?
Two things. One, don't mess with Jan. Two, I think that we're going to have a lot of information in a very short period of time.
Well, let's hope so.
Yes, I do.
I want to thank everyone for listening in today. We lost TJ, but he's in Thunderstorm Alley at the moment.
Like we were yesterday.
Yes, as in fact we were yesterday. I'm glad we weren't running this show yesterday. Till next week, I do hope that everyone has a great week. And we'll be talking again next Sunday. Till then, goodbye.
Bye, Peter, and thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.